Welcome to Bow Valley Christian Church Podcast. We are about helping people find and follow Jesus. In this episode, you're listening to Andrew Kobe share his message titled, When Love Walked Among Us, Divine Interruptions. From the series titled, These Three Remain. This message was broadcast live July 9th, 2023.
Well, howdy, Bow Valley. Welcome to the first of a couple of Stampede-themed Sundays here as we're in the middle of Stampede here in Calgary, Alberta. Welcome to those watching online and those here in person. My name is Andrew Kobe. I'm the Youth and Young Adults Coordinator here at Bow Valley. And as part of my role as specifically Youth Coordinator, I've just came back from a week-long of high school camp where I've hung out and I've had a great time and we've stayed up way too late and had way too much food. And I was just hanging out with some of our high schools and man, it's amazing what God is doing in the next generations. I've got a couple weird tan lines, so I apologize for that in advance. At high school camp this week, the theme of the camp, Eason Wood from Refinery Church up in Edmonton led the camp. And the theme of the camp was Lord of the Rings. And so throughout the camp, we were doing a bunch of Lord of the Rings themed activities. And so I hope you'll forgive me that I just have to include a part from Lord of the Rings, specifically The Hobbit, in the message this morning. You'll remember in The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins, little hobbit guy, lives in his home in the Shire, Bag End, and he's just hanging out. And he's having a wonderful life, eating many meals a day. It's perhaps the best life that a hobbit could ever have. But then something changes quite near the beginning of the book. This creepy old guy, this wizard called Gandalf, comes in. And he offers Bilbo an opportunity. And he says, Bilbo, why don't you come on an adventure? Let's go on an adventure, Bilbo. I got a good adventure for you, and we need a small hobbit like you. And quite quickly, Bilbo refuses. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things these adventures are. They make you late for dinner. Well, it ends up that Gandalf doesn't take no for an answer, and Bilbo ends up going on this adventure with a bunch of dwarves and Gandalf himself, and he begrudgingly leaves, and he goes on this adventure, and they go through many different paths and many, many different journeys up through forests and into spiders' webs and along the way, and they end up at this tunnel in the dwarf kingdom that they are trying to reach, that they're trying to rescue this great dwarf treasure from. And Bilbo goes in and he retrieves the Arkenstone, this treasure. And along the way, one day in this journey, he realizes something. He realizes that there's something greater than adventures. He realizes that, in fact, maybe this interruption was actually something good. He realizes, perhaps, that there is... What is... What is... Hey, thank you, Bow Valley. Thank you, guys. That was planned. That was planned. They were a little late on the queue, but that's okay. This is kind of what I imagine our passage today might have been like. That in our passage today in Mark 2, we're focusing on the story of the paralyzed man. And that there was a great interruption in this story, an interruption to the message, and an interruption into the rhythms of life of many people involved. Why don't we take a moment to read this story together this morning? A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he turned to the man and he said, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." There are many different routes that can be taken in this particular story. But the argument that I want to present you with this morning is that Jesus's love shines through when our rhythms of life, when our habits, when our way of doing things in the day-to-day get interrupted. There are many people in this story whose way of life, whose rhythms get interrupted. You think about the man who was healed. What a tremendous interruption into the way he did things. His friends had their lives interrupted. The Pharisees had the way of doing things interrupted. Even the people surrounding them at the house experienced this interruption of the rhythms of life. Each of these interruptions in the story is an act of love. In fact, many of the other stories that we have covered and will cover this summer as we talk about when love came down to earth have the same principle. That somehow, some way, in the interruptions of life, Jesus' love shines through. That when our rhythms are broken, that's when the love of Jesus decides to show up. Why is this? Why is it that Jesus chooses to love in the interruptions? That's the question I hope to allow us to think about this morning. Before we dive in just a little deeper into this question, I think it's important for us to get on the same page of what kind of interruption I'm talking about. I like the way one author put it. He said, "An interruption is something that gets in between you and the thing you value most." He said, "An interruption is something less important that gets in the way of going somewhere or doing something more important." In other words, our values on the top of our value pyramid list, that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to live out these values. But an interruption is something that comes in and says, you can't get that value. You can't reach that value yet. It's like in football. I don't know how many of you are football fans, but I am. And the offensive line, there's a quarterback and he's trying to throw the ball to the receiver. And the offensive line blocks the defensive team. Because if the defensive team gets through that line and sacks the quarterback, for all you non-football fans, very bad. You don't want that to happen. You do not want your quarterback to be sacked. And so the offensive line protects and they block. And it's the same thing with an interruption. It blocks you from trying to get to the thing that is most important to you. In a culture where success is defined by how much you accomplish during your lifetime and how much material wealth you can get, our rhythms of life, the way of being, the habits that we have formed reflect and are built around those very same values. Think about how often do we think about ourselves on Saturday? How much can I get done in the yard today? Or maybe I think I need that new iPhone that has the same features as the last iPhone. Or perhaps why do I always get calls just as I'm about to go in a meeting? Don't they know I'm busy? The interesting thing is that often the interruptions to these rhythms of life, these habits that have been built up culturally over time, provide an opportunity for us to shift away from the values of our culture and towards the values of God. Away from the busyness, away from not having enough time to spend with the kids, away from Gucci bags and iPhones and all of the money, and turning towards faith and hope, and above all else, love. In the story of the paralyzed man in Mark 2, this shift away from the cultural values towards love happens in three distinct ways that I believe we can use as a bit of a guide in how we see our own interruptions in life. That instead of grumbling about how this is just the worst, and God, this situation is unfair, I can't believe you would put me through, why is this person calling me again, God? I don't want this. That instead we can begin to shift towards love. I think the first way in which interruptions can lead us to shift towards love is by refocusing us and reminding us of our calling to others. In the story of the paralyzed man, the story does not even happen in the first place if it were not for the friends that carried the paralyzed man into the house. In fact, Jesus' command to love your neighbor is central to this story. That without the friends, there's no healing. There's no interruption. The friends are the ones that cause it. And in this way, the interruption can remind us as well of our command to love our neighbor. You might say, yeah, love of neighbor, good, good, I can see that. That's great. But how does this shift away from the cultural values of the time? Well, let's just pause and think for a moment. How many cultural norms that these friends had to break in order to get to Jesus in the first place? I mean, for starters, they were friends with someone that was paralyzed. In this time, that was pretty uncommon. There wasn't a lot of people that liked to hang out with paralyzed people. But it goes even farther than this. While Jesus was teaching, these guys were trying to find a way through the crowd to get to Jesus. No doubt annoying people as they went. They had a guy on a mat and they were just carrying him around through the crowd. I mean, if someone were in a crowd with me and I saw them carrying a guy on a mat, I'd be pretty annoyed. They took up space in a crowd that was packed full. The room, there was no space. It was fuller than Stampede. And when that didn't work, when they said, oh man, we can't get through this crowd, they decided the next logical solution, okay, we're going to grab the saws. Let's get to work on this roof. They started making a hole in the roof. It wasn't even theirs. The house wasn't there. What would you do if someone started digging a hole through your roof? If all this wasn't enough, if they didn't break enough cultural norms already, they interrupted the greatest teacher to ever exist. To even speak when a teacher was speaking was disrespectful. And these guys dropped a paralyzed man on him. Talk about an interruption. They did not care about the cultural norms, the cultural values of that day. They went to great lengths to see their friend and get them to Jesus. Why? Why did they do this? Why did they shift away from these values? They seem like good values. Don't cut holes in strangers. That seems like a good value. But why? It's love. They loved the paralyzed man so much that they were willing to break every conceivable cultural norm in order to have the best for his life. This is our call, that we would love our neighbors enough to lower them through a roof. When we are faced with someone that seems to be interrupting our rhythm of life, that when you have to run off in a meeting that starts in approximately 34 seconds and someone is trying to talk to you, how are you going to choose love? How can this remind us to choose love? That when you're stuck in traffic on your way to the bank and it closes at 5 and it's 4:47 and there's a homeless person on the street, how are you going to choose love? That when your parents are getting older, but taking care of them is going to be a tremendous burden on your finances and your material wealth, how are you going to show love? How can we allow these interruptions of the rhythms of our life to refocus us towards our calling to love? I think the second way that interruptions can refocus us and realign us towards love is that they can create opportunities for us to receive the love of others. This might seem a little bit counterintuitive, but just stick with me. I recognize that not all interruptions in the rhythms of life are good. That sometimes our way of living and our habits get shaken up in a way that hurts, that forces us to grieve and lament and cry out to God about the things that could have been. I think oftentimes it's in these moments that we are reminded of our need for a loving community that the church desires to be. That sometimes we cannot always be people that love others, but sometimes we need to be the love ease. We need to receive the love, and this is healthy. The paralyzed man was reminded of this, I think. He realized that he needed people in his life to love him, or else he quite literally could not carry on. Without the friends, without the people around him, he wouldn't have been able to move. Potentially, he wouldn't have been able to eat. He would have no social connection. He would be alone in a world sitting on the side of a road. He wouldn't have had an opportunity for the healing that Jesus gives to occur. How often do we think that we can do it all on our own without the help and without the love of other people? When I was in high school, I was going through a period of my life where I was trying to love everyone. I was trying to reach out. And when my peers and my classmates and the people around me needed to talk, I was the person that they could talk to. I was young and foolish, and I didn't know that I couldn't carry everyone's burdens, that I wasn't strong enough, that I couldn't do it all on my own. And I drove myself to the point where I was carrying the weight of all of these different people. I was carrying the burdens that they had shared with me. But yet, I myself had no one to go through the burdens that I had in my life. I'll never forget this one night. It was late, 2, 3 a.m., and I was texting with my closest friend about a failed relationship that he had been to. And I was crying, not because of him, but because of me. Because I had no one that I could talk to about my seemingly small things. that I was going through. Out of nowhere, I don't know where he came from, my dad appeared, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and something clicked. And I knew at that moment that I had been missing someone who could fill me back up again, that I had been missing someone that I could receive love from. The very same love that I had been pouring out to all my friends, I needed it in my own life. Sometimes in the interruptions of life, in the deaths of family members and close friends, in the failed relationships, when things are going wrong in the career that you have worked so hard to build, when the diagnosis comes in from the doctor, I think we're reminded that we need to be able to be in a community that is loving, that we need to be in a community where we too can receive love. Just like the paralyzed man, we need to be prepared to receive love when the interruptions of our rhythms of life, of our way of doing things, are impacting us with devastating consequences. I think the last way that interruptions can refocus us towards love as a value instead of the cultural values is that they have a tendency to realign our own thinking and realign our own values to be able to receive God's love. It's not that God ever stops loving us. Trust me, he doesn't. But I think oftentimes we have a tendency to forget just how much he loves us. We have a tendency to forget the true nature of his unconditional, never-ending, eternal love for each and every one of us. In the interruptions of life, I think we are able to find this love again. In Mark 2, God shows his love in this story filled with interruptions in two different ways. And that when these two different ways combine, I think it leads to a fuller or a more complete restoration of our lives. The first way that God shows his love is through the restoration of the spiritual and the forgiveness of sins. In the interruption of Jesus' message when he was teaching and the man was dropped in, he could have chosen to ignore the man. He could have continued to teach and prepare and lead this crowd that was packed. But for some weird reason, Jesus didn't. I mean, I would probably ignore it if someone came flying in through the roof right now. Perhaps shockingly, Jesus didn't even scold the man for interrupting his killer sermon that he'd been preparing all week. But rather, the very first words that he spoke to the man, "Our son, your sins are forgiven." It's the first words he spoke to the man. No introduction needed. "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is wild. This is absolutely crazy. Jesus cares about the spiritual restoration of our lives. He doesn't just leave us in a place where we have to figure it all on our own, but he came in and he cares about us. And he wants us to be restored to the Father in right relationship. He wants our sins to be forgiven. By taking a break from the regular rhythms of our busy daily lives, I think we can further participate in this restoration of the spiritual side of our lives. That an interruption from your laptop and your phone, just imagine all those emails you'll miss. An interruption from these things can help us tune into our spiritual side, and it can help us allow us to participate in God's redemptive story of our life. I mentioned earlier that I was out at camp this past week for high school camp, and man, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to focus on the spiritual side. There's chapels every day. worship times, devotions every morning. It seems like the whole camp is filled with this buzz of spiritual energy. It's great. It's fantastic. Maybe if you haven't been to a camp, I encourage you, consider it. Consider just taking a weekend away. Go to family camp. If you're a young adult, come to Deeper Life Camp. I'll be there. It's great. By taking the time to step away from the busyness that our culture almost forces on us, we can lean into this love that God is pouring out over us, that we can lean into the spiritual restoration of our lives, and we can lean into the practices and the habits that we may have ignored because we were too busy, and we can lean into that and in that receive the love of God. Similarly, God does not just want to restore our spiritual selves in the interruptions, but he also wants to restore our physical selves. God cares not just about your spiritual health, but your physical health too. He didn't just say that the paralyzed man was forgiven. He could have just said, "You're forgiven. I hope that's good enough for you." But he didn't. He also said, "Get up, take your mat, go home. Get up, take your mat, go home. Walk into this new life that God is calling you towards. That your body is ready for this new adventure that God has prepared for your life. That when he set your path before you, he included the physical selves. We are embodied creatures, and that is special. Think about this. When is the last time that you took a vacation strictly for rest? I think sometimes our culture, our vacations, even they become so full of busyness. I have to mow the lawn before we go off to Banff tomorrow, and then I'm going to church on Sunday, followed by lunch with people, and then dinner, and all of a sudden our break is full. Is this just me? That even our vacations have been corrupted by this idea that it is all about how we spend our time and how we spend our money and the things that we accomplish in life. But I wonder, what would it look like for you to take a vacation? Just rest. Relax. I'm giving you permission. No chores. And why don't we participate in God's restoration of our physical selves? Why don't we participate in the healing of our physical and mental self? If we are to receive God's love through the interruptions of these daily habits, I think that our physical selves need to be ready. That mentally and physically, we have to be prepared for these interruptions. That when we chase acclaim and glory and fame and material wealth, we must shift our values to that of love and away from the values of time and money and material possessions. One day on Bilbo Baggins' journey, he realized something, that when he had found the Arkenstone in the dragon's lair, and he's given it to his dwarf friend, Thorin, he realized that this stone, the material wealth that it brought, the fame that it brought, the significance of the journey that he had went to, and the accomplishment of being the one to find this Arkenstone, that actually it meant nothing. That this Arkenstone, this physical object, was corrupting his dwarf friend. And so in a move that went against the cultural values of both the Lord of the Rings fictional world, and I think as well as against the values of our culture today, Bilbo turned away from the acclaim and away from the glory and away from the fame, and he turned towards love. And he said, "Thorin, you can't carry on if you have this Arkenstone. I'm going to steal it from you." I wonder if we could be like Bilbo, that when the interruptions of our life hit, that when an adventure comes calling from an old wizard and our values are shaken, can we as a church turn away from the values that the world wants us to chase, of fame and money and the glory of accomplishment and busyness and time? All of these values, can we turn and make a conscious choice to focus on love? The same value that led Jesus to die for each and every one of us, in order that one day we may be restored fully into the kingdom of heaven. Can we do that? Can we try? Why don't we pray together?